This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, with me, Kusu Chuang and Tan Chung Han, with the top business stories of the day. The repercussions, the ripple effect of these trade tensions happening between the US and China. They've hit local tech stocks, and there was a sell-off yesterday,
which gained momentum. And of course, we know that in March sometime, the diatribe from emanating from Donald Trump against Chinese imports into America, something to the order of about $60 billion annually, that's under attack from the Trump administration, saying that obviously this is actually the kind of narrative that he brought up during his election campaign, saying that cheap Chinese imports have been hurting America and hurting American jobs and putting the whole economy at risk. So it's, you know, kind of gathered momentum in 2018. And basically, you know, as a result of these ongoing confrontationary discussions between China and America, tech stocks have been sold off across the world, including in Malaysia, because, you know, obviously our electronic sector is a big, I think we're contract manufacturers. We do a lot of testing and of equipment. So, yeah, I mean, for example, companies like Emulus is down 44% year-to-date, Viz Dynamics down 42% year-to-date, Globetronics down 39%, VS Industry 35%, MPI down 35%. So, I mean, a lot of market value has been wiped off.
Yeah, and also I guess we can boil this down to Trump needing more of a political win, especially with the midterm elections due up towards the end of this year, right? So he has to rack up those political points big time, right? So here we have, once again, the ramping up of the anti-China rhetoric by way of this potential trade war. And now China, of course, has responded as well. You know, they target as many as 128 American products, mostly in food and agriculture. They are talking about perhaps imposing an extra 25% tariff on things from recycled aluminum to pork, wine, nuts, fruits, steel tubes, etc. Right? Or actually, the wine, nuts, fruits, and steel tubes, there'll be an additional 15% tariff rate. So there is this expected retaliation from China.
Well, you know, before we get into the details of the Chinese response, well, what about the question of Wall Street? Is Wall Street welcoming of the Trump rhetoric? Isn't Wall Street going to be one of the losers in a trade war? I mean, especially for those companies that are exporting to the world. I mean, this can't be a good thing.
Well, you know, global markets and investors don't like uncertainty. They don't, certainly, they don't like the precedence of a country, which is the world's biggest economy, tweeting out his personal, in some cases, opinions.
I think in all cases,
in all instances, pointing, ominously towards future policy directions. And obviously, Shrem, if you're an investor, that would be the kind of thing that would just make you head for the hills, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and there's another thing that seems to be contradictory, right? I mean, Trump wants job growth in America. That's one of his platforms, right? Job growth comes from industries, especially industries that are exporting. Now, if you dampen global trade, how can that be good for job growth in America?
Well, some economists might say job growth does not necessarily come from outward-looking policy. I mean, some people might say, and of course, you know this from history, from your history books, China was closed off from the rest of the world for 400 years, and so
was
Japan.
But the US is not a command economy.
Correct. I mean, yeah, but I'm saying, you can, I mean, look at North Korea, but the thing is, we live in a globalized world now, and Bloomberg have done their sums. They reckon something to the tune of $500 billion would be wiped off the global economy by 2020 if this trade wars intensify.
Right, yes, look to North Korea. At least K-pop yes, bands are visiting now.
Look, it's all relative, right? When all else fails, just to compare ourselves against North Korea. But then going back to what you mentioned earlier, Sharad, markets had to adjust to comments made by Trump a couple of weekends ago. So, this past week, the sell-off was mainly centered around Amazon and tech stocks. Before that, there appeared to be this broader-based sell-off for U.S. equities based on, this ramping up of rhetoric by Donald Trump about the prospects of a trade war. Then going into the weekend, towards the end of March, Steve Mnuchin had to come in and say, kind of calm markets a little bit, say, hey, they're hopeful that a deal will be achieved between the China and the U.S. So then you saw investors come back in, a week out. pretty much about this time last week, you know, or the early part of last week. So yes, Wall Street obviously reacting to what Trump is tweeting or saying, whether the come the midterm elections, whether U.S. voters will continue reacting the same way that it did in a couple of years ago when he voted him in. I guess that is the bigger question and perhaps foremost for Trump.
Okay, so speaking of tech and of Trump and his tweets, his comments on Amazon have sparked a sell-off. But Amazon rebounded yesterday on a Bloomberg story. What's the real story here? His fingerprints are all over this year's sell-off as well as last year's rally.
Well, you see, now it's all about Donald Trump again because, you see, he's got ants in his pants over Amazon, right? And necessarily, and some people are saying...
He has ants in his pants over Stormy Daniels.
He's got ants in his pants all the time. But you see, he's got his knives out for Jeff Bezos and Amazon. He's been trying all he can do to kind of like derail the Amazon juggernaut, right? And of course, Amazon, they've had a massive rally in the share price. Jeff Bezos at $140 billion is now the world's richest man. And he says that Amazon has been fleecing the U.S. Postal Service for 9 and 10 years since they began business because, you know, the U.S. Postal Service doesn't charge as much, well, commercial rates for delivering Amazon's stuff that, you know, perhaps a FedEx or a DHL might. But the thing is, I mean, the U.S. Postal Service and Amazon are commercial entities. Why is the U.S. president wading in on this issue when, in fact, this should be a contractual issue between these two entities?
Right, and look, this pushback or this intervention, as some may call it, by the current U.S. administration into these commercial entities is not without precedence, right? If you recall last year, you got the Justice Department that sued AT&T to stop its acquisition of Time Warner. Why? Because Time Warner owns CNN, and CNN is a big critic of Donald Trump, right? So how does that tie in with this Washington Post story? So again, Bezos owns Washington Post, obviously owns Amazon, and, you know, Donald Trump is calling Washington Post fake news. In fact, he tweeted out, you know, and I quote, "Is fake news Washington Post being used as a lobbyist weapon against Congress to keep politicians from looking into Amazon no tax monopoly?" So it appears that Amazon is firmly in the crosshairs of Donald Trump because of this, because of the links between Bezos and Washington Post.
I mean, this is very interesting. I mean, he uses an expression like no tax monopoly. Is that actually factually correct?
Is that immaterial to Donald Trump? With his tweets, he's a bit like John Wayne shooting off both his guns from both holsters. He's gone a bit mad, hasn't he? Because, I mean, when you look at it, Amazon investors have lost cumulatively something like $55 billion over the course of a few days. Only on the basis of Donald Trump's tweets. It's not even policy yet, right? And the whole reason why Amazon rebounded yesterday was because Bloomberg ran a headline which said that there's been no concrete action within the White House in terms of curtailing Amazon's business. So why? I mean, I think the question people have to ask is Donald Trump's personal agenda over his opposition to media platforms like CNN or Washington Post clouding Wall Street, clouding his policy direction, and clouding global markets?
Now, Chirag, going back to your question about, you know, whether or not it's accurate to label Amazon as a no-tax monopoly, right? Not entirely, but, the numbers do, you know, kind of paint a slightly different picture. So, for example, Amazon doesn't collect taxes on third-party sales, okay? It pays taxes that it does, you know, directly, okay, with its customers, but third-party sales done by its site, Amazon doesn't pick up the tax on that. Yet, third-party sales account for about half of Amazon's volumes, okay? So from the billions and billions and billions that Amazon sells via its website, half of it, at least as far as Amazon is concerned, no tax, right? So does that constitute a no-tax monopoly? No question mark. Another question mark, right? You know, is his strong, like you're mentioning, is his personal agenda perhaps clouding the competitive landscape in the U.S.? So just to give you a point of reference, the U.S. Postal Service, when they do delivery for Amazon, they're charging about $2 per the package. That's about half of what FedEx or UPS charges, right? So given and on top of that, the Postal Service has been losing billions of dollars, I think over $60 billion US dollars since 2007. Is this does this warrant a protectionist call from the U.S. president?
Donald, no tax return Trump, I think. Anyway, we'll come back to that.
But he does pay his taxes, though.
Okay.
I mean, he has paid taxes.
Wow. Okay. So let's look at Spotify. We have just a little bit of time. We talked about that flag-raising debacle. What do we understand from their performance yesterday?
Well, they did actually quite well. They've come in through the direct listing route, which is not the conventional route. And actually, that's been one of the most interesting things about this IPO, as Dodge Dolan points out. But their first trade of $165.9 was actually 25% higher than the reference price set by its market makers, Citadel, and Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley, its bankers. But it's interesting because the kind of like bubble and euphoria that's surrounding tech stocks so far this year has been proven to be still very much alive by the Spotify debut yesterday. Because, I mean, and at the end of the day, investors have really bought into Spotify's something like 150 million global user base. And, you know, I guess the tech story still reigns supreme.
Yeah, a couple of quick points to ponder on. So firstly, is the business model sustainable? Can they stem their losses? Secondly, can this market valuation be sustained as well? And third, will investment banks in the U.S. lose out because of the relatively successful direct listing by Spotify?
Okay, we're coming to the top of the hour. We'll be back after the bulletin with The Breakfast Grill. Our guest this morning, Piotr Strzałkowski, senior economist at the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD. Brian Fernandez is going to be speaking to him. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.